to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Aren't you glad that you've got a word of God that you can depend on this morning? Praise the Lord. Well, what a privilege once again it is to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad you're here this morning? I'd rather be here than anywhere else I can think of. A lot of people say, I'd rather be here than to be in the hospital. I can think of a million places I'd rather be than to be in the hospital. But I'd rather be here than anywhere I can think of. Are you glad you love Him? Are you glad He loved you first? Are you glad He loves you in spite of you? Are you really glad about it? Give Him a big hand clap of praise if you love Him this morning. Amen. Amen. Now turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Sunday morning. Let's sing that chorus together once again, brethren, if you will. Oh, yes, now through it all. You can be seated for just a few minutes this morning. As we look at our prayer requests, we got several things we want to let you know about today. First of all, I want you to remember our son-in-law, Blair Henley, in prayer. He's been sick for about 3 weeks, still very sick this morning. And if you just remember him in your prayers, we would appreciate that. Sister Christy Smith, sister, please pray for my neighbor. His daughter passed away after a long battle with cancer. She has a 3-year-old daughter, so they're asking that we would remember that family in prayer as we pray that the Lord would just be mindful of that situation. Brother Byron Palmer says a friend asked that our church remember Ethan Gibbs, a little 9-year-old boy from North Carolina. He was diagnosed a year ago with brain cancer. Last week he had follow-up scans which revealed spots on his spine, so the family, they're asking that we would remember that child, and we just want to do that the Lord would be mindful. Brother Baker offers this testimony. He got a good report from the eye doctor. They couldn't find any signs of glaucoma. He wants to praise the Lord and thank you for your prayer, so we appreciate that this morning, don't we? Amen. We certainly do. Brother Randy Scott sends this in to please pray for me in finding the will of the Lord for a very difficult situation that he is dealing with. So let's just pray that the Lord would give him guidance and lead him in the ways that he would have him go. Brother Carter Lawson sends this in, a very urgent, unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord this morning. And then Sister Brenda Jones has a very urgent, unspoken prayer request that she would like for you to pray about. All the requests this morning, if you have something you'd like for the Lord to move on your behalf, you'd like for this group to pray for you, how many of you know that God is bigger than all of our problems? That's an old song that's been sung many, many times, but that is so true this morning, that He is so much bigger than all of our problems. And we're going to have problems. We are going to have situations, but we know that we're serving an almighty God that's bigger than any situation we go through. And He'll never put more on us than we're able to stand. You may feel like you're at the end of your rope. You can't go another step, but He'll never put more on you than you're able to stand. So a picture of, I guess I've told you this many times, a big old crane. And he was getting ready to swallow a frog. But the frog had his little hands around that crane's neck. He was choking the life out of him. That's the way we need to do the devil this morning. It looks like sometimes the devil's going to win. We're going to be defeated, but let's put our hands around his neck. He's not going to be easy. It's not going to be an easy chore. We're serving a prayer answering God. Do you believe that this morning? Let's stand to our feet. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him with all your heart. Brother Rob Weber, come this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. Certainly appreciate Brother Rob, don't we? God bless you, my buddy.
God bless you, Brother Louis. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you. Thank you once again. With happiness and joy in our hearts, we come before you this Sunday morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for grace that you've given to us. It is sufficient. I thank you, Lord, for the requests that are made, the testimonies that come forth as a result. And I thank you, Lord, for the weekend that you've given us. I thank you, Lord, for the wedding that we had. The world was was so enamored with the royal wedding, and yet I just thought that we had a wedding, and it was royal as two children of the living God get married with a testimony that's so beautiful and pure. I thank you, Lord, for that gift, Lord, that you've given to the body. I pray for their marriage, and I thank you, Lord, for the weekend that you've given. I pray, Lord God, that we go forth and enjoy, and Lord, looking forward to the new things that you would bring forth today from your throne. Lord, we're unworthy, but we're thankful, and you have made us worthy in your sacrifice. We pray, Lord, for these prayer requests. We pray for the family of the child that's lost. We pray for the joys that are about to come in this service, Lord, and speak from your heart to us, Lord, as we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you, baby. Praise the Lord. In reference to the wedding, I was talking to Brother Jimmy Babb last night and asked him how Brother Michael was doing. Brother Michael Bailey, he said he's got a 30-day stint in Watauga Mental Health, but he's doing real well. I know there was a lot of preparation, a lot of things that went on, and well, the Lord just smiled on it, and we're glad for that, aren't we? We certainly do. Are you glad you're in church this morning? Let me ask you one more time. I want you to start acting like it. You're tickled to death nearly to be here. It's a tremendous privilege to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Ushers, if you want to come and receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord, if you're visiting today with us in this service, we want to welcome you, and we do have several visitors. We'll not be able to recognize all of you, but we're glad you're here. Trust you'll just receive a blessing from this service. All of our streamers, we pray God will bless them in this service today. Can we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand, if you will, this morning. Let me make a couple of announcements. I missed this last night, and I certainly apologize to Sister Lisa Vaughn. It just got mixed up in some other papers that I had. But if you plan to attend the wedding reception for Hadessa Vaughn and Derek Mills on Monday, June the 25th, there is a sign-up sheet in the library. Thank you. So remember that if you're going to attend the wedding reception. That's on June the 25th, on a Monday. Go to the library, sign up on that sheet. Also, there's a sign-up sheet for the July 27th youth banquet here at Happy Valley. They're over in the library. Please sign up as soon as possible so preparations can be made. Brother West wants you to remember that. That's on July the 27th, a youth banquet here at Happy Valley. If you're going to be attending that, please go to the library and fill out your name on the sign-up sheet and give everybody time to make preparations. Let's sing a song this morning. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. How many of you know that your life is absolutely nothing without Him? We're absolutely nothing without the hand of God in our life. The old violin that was auctioned off had dust all over it, was out of tune. The auctioneer said, who'll give me $2? Who'll give me $3? Nobody was interested. There was an old man got up out of the congregation. He come and he rosined up the bow, put the fiddle in tune, wiped the dust off of it, and began to play, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. All of a sudden, the violin was priceless because of a touch of the Master. Your life is priceless this morning because of a touch from the Master. Satan had you in a pawn shop. You was worth nothing. He was going to do away with every one of us, but he really didn't know what he had laying on that shelf. We was God's heritage. Are you glad about it this morning? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I A couple of songs this morning. Brother Andes is going to come. Brother Stussman is going to come and sing for us. If them brothers would just come onto the platform at this time, be getting ready. They're visiting with us, but they're almost like home folks to us, aren't they? We appreciate it. They'll come on. Let's sing this little chorus as they're getting ready to sing for us this morning. Well, if you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Get out of my way. Got a race to run, and I'm running by faith at the finish line. We're gonna see God's face. Oh, if you can't help me, don't try to stop me. Get out of my way. Don't try to block me. We got a race to run.
It's a long time, running both night and day.
Hallelujah.
I don't have time for idle talk. It might cause me to lose this race.
Lord, you can't help me. Don't try to stop
You're
me.
You're not gonna stop me.
Get out of my way. Don't try to block me. I got a race to run.
I got a few more mountains and hills to climb.
Oh,
are
yes.
you waiting for me at the finish line?
If you don't help me,
please
don't try
don't
to
stop
me.
Me. Move out of my way. Don't try to block me.
Got a race to run. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you're just singing so good today. You can be seated. Give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for us. Everyhow they have it worked out. God bless them.
Dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in His shadow for life. say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock in whom I trust, and He will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, and make you to shine like the sun. The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under His wings, your sun, and hold you in the palm of His hand. You in the palm of His hand. Oh, you need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Near you it shall not come, and He will raise you up on eagle's wings.
shine like the sun and hold you in the palm of his hand. Praise
the Lord this morning. How many is glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many is thankful for the Holy Ghost this morning? How many is thankful for a good pastor? I'm so thankful for Brother Donnie. Can you give him a hand clap this morning? There's something that's keeping him standing in this day. There's a Holy Ghost power behind your pastor this morning. I'll tell you that under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost this morning. It says in the Bible that all that can be shaken will be shaken in this day. Anything that's standing, there's got to be some sort of power beyond the supernatural that'll keep your pastor standing in this day. And I believe that's the Holy Ghost power of this day. Amen. How many's thankful for the Holy Ghost? How many's thankful for God's prophet in this day? If you know this song, sing it with me. I love you all this morning, and it's good to be with you.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword, voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. Oh, the fields are as white in your world. And we are the laborers in your declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's a year of jubilee, and out of Zion till salvation like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Do you believe it this morning? There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes. He's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, won't you lift your salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Oh, behold, he comes. He's around.
Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Won't it be something when we all gather together there and able to really worship Him and the way we were made to. Praise the Lord. My goodness, how in the world do you follow that? Praise the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we count it such an honor that we could be in this great charge of your presence today, Lord. You see, Lord Jesus, as mortals, we need you so much in this day that we live. Father, I know that people live every day of their life without you in it, but we really can't relate to that, Lord. We need you every day, every hour, every moment, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, if there's a person here today that is not living that kind of a life, that you would just deal with them, Lord. Don't even wait to the end of the service. Start dealing with them right now to help them to see their great need for you, Lord. We love you so much. Thank you for our brothers singing and yielding their gifts and their talents to the Holy Ghost, whereby they can be a ministering spirit to the saints of God. Now, as we approach the Word, we ask for your help today, Father. You see that we're a people with many needs and many desires and requests upon our hearts. But Lord Jesus, we're asking that you would help us. I'm probably the most needy one here today to try to stand and take the Word of God and speak something that would help mortals. How can one mortal help another? How can I speak anything, Lord God, that would be of eternal value? There's only one way that can happen, and that's if you come and anoint that part of yourself called a gift that you put in my life. I've known for many, many years that a preacher needs to get out of the way. But as further as I go, the more I realize it, how much I need to get out of the way to let you speak. Speak to us today, Father. Take charge of this service. Anoint not only me, but your people to be able to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. We greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus. It's an honor for us to be able to be together in the presence of God. Song of Solomon chapter 6. We'll read again today verses 3 through 5. And we'd like to speak on contrast again. You are beautiful in God's eyes, the work that He's done in you. Yet the human element that each of us have to contend with every day. The bride speaking in verse 3, I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. The bridegroom responding back, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. How could a people that could be attributed such fine traits that the bridegroom himself would identify them as being beautiful, comely. Other places in the Song of Solomon, he says that you're without spot. And let us take our fill of love, being overcome with in his own heart by your sight. What kind of a people are we? What kind of a curious people are we? That the Almighty would be so moved before the foundation of the world, He would make a plan that would require such condescension that no mortal would ever comprehend without God helping them. What kind of people are we that He would give His sinless, perfect life? What is it about us that would so move Him to such a place, he would leave the highest of the heavens to go to the lowest of hell. What is it about you? What is it about me that would move his being to such a place that in turn, when he looks back at the work that he's done in our hearts, and then we look back through the eyes of grace, that he says, turn your eyes from me. I can't stand it. You're overcoming me. You're bringing me to such a spot that I cannot take your gaze of grace. What kind of people are we? What peculiar thing has happened to us? Even that God would call us his peculiar treasure. What has God done in such a phenomenal way that would make us to be such people? The angels of God would stand in awe at your presence. Today, if an angel were to walk in this place, we would be able to behold him with our eyes. No doubt most of us would wind up on our face. We would be down at the altar somewhere crying and praying. God would be merciful to us for sending such a being. But in reality, those beings marvel and they look. And the scripture said at the baptism of the Holy Ghost that the angels look into it, desiring to understand. And the word looking into it is one who stoops down on their knees and they bend curiously, trying to understand. You imagine that you have within you today something that the angels of God still do not fully comprehend. What kind of a people are we that have gathered here in this place today? What are we? Really? What are we? Who are we? What have we become by the grace of God that it would hold the heavens in awe? And yet, on the flip side of that, the human part, which is not yet redeemed, can be so far away from the supernatural, which we've just looked at, from the sublime, from the extremity of the great light of God, to the darkness of humanity, that can feel such sickness, such sorrow, such depression at times. From those who are so worthy that in the book of Revelation that he would speak to his saints and say, come and walk with me in white, for you are worthy. And yet in our human failures, we can feel such in the opposite way that we don't even feel worthy of grace. We don't even feel worthy of being saved. What kind of people are we today, friends? What kind of a work has Almighty God done within us that left us in such a perplexity that we are touched by two worlds? We walk where angels have not been allowed to walk in the mercy and the grace of God. And yet we can walk in the valley of despair because of our failures and our shortcomings. There's not a people on the earth that can feel as distraught as a member of the disobedient that really love God. You see, for those who are not touched by heaven in that degree, when they feel wrong, it is not to the same degree as the children of God. Because of the greatness that he has abounded toward us in grace. And when we fall short of that, there's not another human on the earth that can feel so low because we have been lifted so high. And this is why that we as the people of God should never take the grace of God for granted. We should never say, oh, well, I'm bright, I can do whatever I want to do, and God is obligated to forgive me, and God will forgive me, and it ain't no big deal. I'll tell you one thing, if you feel like that, there's something wrong with your understanding of the grace of God. To realize God owes us absolutely nothing on our own merit. He gives it to us because we are a love gift to Christ Jesus. We are the people of God that have been so beautified by salvation.
We have been so transformed and so changed by the power of God. For those of you that are born again, I'm speaking to that we are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And yet the human element that is left about us, as we looked at it last night in the stream of time and the stream of mortal beings, three realms that are above us, three realms that are beneath us. Our two outer realms are still accessible to these six realms, and we are caught in the middle. And both of these realms, from the heavenly, from the darkness of Satan, they penetrate and try to reach our minds, our spirit, our conscience, our dreams. They try to affect us in every way they can. It is as if all the powers of God of all up in heaven are coming down in a 2-inch pipe, and you're down at the bottom of that pipe in the presence of God, desiring to press himself and empty himself into us as his people. All the lid has been torn off of hell. Thousands times thousands and myriads of demons, which at one time stood in the presence of God as angels, and they are pressing forward. Or to the world out here, they've got the majority of them. They are not a trophy for Satan. But one of the greatest trophies that Satan could ever be able to hang on his wall, as it were, is somebody who sat under the revealed word of this hour. A young man, a young woman, an older man, a man who has preached, a woman who has sang, someone who's given their testimony that they believe the gospel and they follow the message of the hour sent by a vindicated prophet of Malachi 4. To Satan, that is one of the greatest trophies that he can be able to achieve. I don't know about you, by the grace of God, I refuse to allow my head to be stuck on the devil's wall. That the devil can look at me and say, I destroyed him. I annihilated him. He was a preacher. He was a servant of God. He was this or that or the other. But now he or she belongs to me. Anybody else feel that way today? Now, you know that this common element that remains among us, despite the supernatural which we share in common, and that is that we are born in sin, shaping iniquity, come to the world speaking lies, and the two outer elements still remain in that sphere because they've not been totally transformed. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Now, we know that Peter is speaking then in this contrast to those that are truly born again. This could not be said to a sinner. This could not be said to just a saved person who still has the snake inside their heart. But this is said to a person which by a new birth is living under the law of contrast. They have experienced a change within them by the power of God which has given them a new birth. It has also left them in the carnal natural state. It leaves them with a control tower in their body and it plants them with a new one inside of their soul. And Peter says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. So first he identifies who we are before he tells us of the battle that we're going to face. And that is, we do not belong to this world, or we do not belong to this world order. We are not of this cosmos, but we are of another order, another kingdom, the kingdom of God. And this is what instills within us this battle. So he says, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Remember, before you were born again, it did not war against the soul because your soul was in perfect harmony with the lust of the flesh. But after you're born again, then there's something we must do. Notice he doesn't say the Holy Ghost will do this for you. The pastor cannot do it for you. Your mother, your your husband, your wife, your sons and your daughters. It's something that you must do yourself. And that's where a lot of the problem lays. In the, especially the age of Laodicea, when carnality is moving at such a rampant state. And it's not out yonder. It's trying to invade our churches. And I hate to say it, but for a lot of them it has done so. And done so successfully. But you and I, as the people of God, must realize that we are called to face this battle. But we are not just going to be able to barely hold on by the grace of God. We are going to win this battle. We are not just survivors, but we are overcomers by the grace of God. Now, whenever we are truly converted by the Spirit of God, it sets up a control tower, as we looked at last night, inside the soul. And that one wars against the one which is left inside the body. So it produces a warfare which is ongoing every day of your life. Some days you might be better suited, you feel like, to win the battle. But Satan will always try to come against us when we are at our weakest point. Either by sickness, our spirit being wearied, things we're going through becomes the most difficulty of life, and that's when he'll begin to lay his great onslaught. And many times children of God will fall short of the glory of God. How many of you still have to repent? How many of you ask the Lord to forgive you for a bad thought or something that Satan brought against you and you didn't always do the right thing? Come on, be honest. But yet we realize the grace of God is there to help us in those difficult times. That does not mean, of course, that we make excuse for that. Well, the Lord helps and the Lord will forgive me, and he'll keep on doing it. Eventually, he'll turn you over his big knee and wear out your hide. So you don't want to push the judgment of God. Now, God cannot, never did, or will he ever hate the bride. But God can be angry at the bride, and God will certainly make us pay for what we do that is wrong. Now, whenever we experience this type of a great thing from God, a great transformation, it leaves us with this element in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, the minding of the flesh then is following the propensities or the natural inclination which is left in the human being after the conversion. You see, those which are not converted, many people went to church today in the Tri-Cities area. They're still there. Some of them has already broke church, and they're standing around drinking their Starbucks and they're doing all kinds of things, but they've done their religion until next Sunday. So for you to try to explain to them the battles you go through, there's no way in the world they can even comprehend it, because the powers of darkness are not coming against them the way they are the real people of God. And the church said, so for you to try to relate to them, why waste your time trying to go talking to them when you're living in a world they know absolutely nothing about? Or if I can just find somebody that'll help me understand it. You're going to a hog lot talking to a tall hog, trying to get the hog to understand sheep battles? Forget it. Amen. If you're a sheep, you're going to have to go to a shepherd, not a hog lot. Well, I found a friend out there in the world, and they seem to understand so well. Yeah, it makes just about as much sense as a sheep talking to a hog about what they're going through. Come on, shake yourself. To be carnally minded is death. Now, we know that the corrupt desires of humanity, we were all born with. We couldn't help that, of course. Spiritually minded people are those which follow the inclination of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's not only a power that's released in us. Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall receive power. The Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite from. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, the apostles were perfect examples of those who had believed, who had been sanctified. Now remember, they were following the message, that part of the message anyhow, but yet the very teaching of the Lord Jesus himself could not keep them in the time of great trial. You believe they loved the Lord Jesus? Sure they did. Did they hear him? Did they believe him? That's right. But even the teaching of God in flesh could not keep them when their personal trials came. They fell short of the glory of God. apart, and teaching alone will never do it. I don't care whose church you go to. You could sit under the greatest man in the message, whoever that is, and it still will not keep you. You must be born again. You must have the Holy Ghost, that personal allotment of power inside of you that gives you authority over the devil. I can pray for you. Other ministers can pray for you under my anointing, under their anointing. That evil spirit might leave you, but that spirit will watch until you get by yourself, and he will then try to come back upon you or anoint you whenever that gift is not there or that anointing is not there. And if you don't have the power within yourself, you'll find yourself falling right into the very same things over and over again. Well, you're going to preach with me, you're going to look at me. Now, what's this? So whenever Paul tells us now that to be carnally minded is death, why is it? It's because Satan is in the carnal mind. Now, think of this. Whenever Satan was able to be able to mix his strain in with humanity, up to Genesis 6, of course, there was two separate seed lines, two separate bloodlines, but once Genesis 6 arrives, then those bloodlines and seed lines become mixed together. And then we find out of there, out of the same mother and same father, the same father, would come a Jacob and an Esau. Now, before Genesis 6, that was totally impossible. But after that, you find that two different people can come out of the same mother and father. As we go on in time, you can see what Satan was able to do, that Satan did not have to get a new Eve in every generation. But by polluting the bedding ground in the beginning, every person that was born through that by sex desire would come to the earth because they was born out of a polluted ground. Oh my. It seemed as if though there was no hope. But before there was ever a man, there was a plan. Before there was ever a cross or a cost, before there was ever anybody lost, God had something in his mind, and the devil's not going to be able to interrupt that program. Now we know, of course, it put it under the permissive will of God in order for attributes of him to be made manifest. Notice this in Romans chapter 8, again verse 7. Paul says, because the carnal mind, now I quoted this to you last night, it's the Greek word sarx, S-A-R-X, the sensuous nature of man, the animal nature, without any suggestion of depravity, the animal nature with cravings which incite to sin, the physical of nature of man as subject to suffering. Now this is what we were born with. And then whenever we're born again, God interrupts that cycle to where the cycle is no longer the flesh, the spirit, and the soul all linked together. God breaks that cycle, and it makes the devil very upset. Now, when he breaks that cycle, then God puts a new cycle on the inside. But remember, you've always got two-thirds against that one-third. But the one-third will be more powerful as long as you'll feed the one-third. So whenever the spirit then and the flesh, and the spirit of course is love, imagination, conscious, memory, reason, and the outside, see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, and we need those. We would be pitiful here this morning if we was only souls. We'd have no way to preach, we'd have no way to hear, we would have no way to talk. So God does not disembody us and pull us out of this carnal thing, but Paul wants us to understand that as long as we are here, we're going to have this battle, but we can win. A preacher contacted me just a little while back. Wanted to know, Brother Donnie, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. He said, you're fighting battles? I said, yeah, I'm fighting and winning by the grace of God. Now, the difference between a real overcomer is, a real overcomer is fighting and winning. A struggler fights and loses. I said a struggler fights and loses. And don't blame God. I said don't blame God, because God wants every son or daughter of God to win their battles. He don't want you to win one out of 40. Believe it or not, he wants you to win 40. People think the grace of God is so wonderful because they fell flat on their face 4,385 times and God forgive them. I think the grace of God is wonderful because he keeps me from falling. Oh, it's wonderful that God can forgive. Peter tells me, if I get these virtues of the Holy Ghost living in me, I will never fall. Where do we get this idea? We have to sin. I thought we was message people, not Baptists. Well, you can't live above sin. That's a lie of the devil. You can't live a life that Satan can't touch you. Again, another lie of the devil. The prophet said a man or woman can live so close to God that the devil don't know what to do with you. Now watch this. The carnal mind is enmity. This word is hostility, hatred, variance in regard to God. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's you. That's what you're left with, your old carnal, stinking mind. Well, praise the Lord. I'm sorry you visitors have got to be whooped today, but this is a whooping day. Well, maybe I shouldn't be sorry, because maybe y'all need to be whooped upon too. Now, Paul says that the carnal mind is enmity against God, that it's actually against him, toward him, and the carnal mind will express itself in rebellion, because sin is rebellion. When sin no longer rebels, sin is no longer sin. But the rebellion of the mind, the rebellion of the nature, ties back to the original sin in the beginning. Now, Satan did not fall out of heaven because God come around the gates one day and there sat the devil with a fifth of vodka in his hand. And the devil was sitting there drinking that vodka, I mean, one glass after another, and the devil got up just drunk around and said, God, I'm sorry, God. I found this bottle over in heaven. I'm sorry, God, I got drunk. The devil never done no such a thing. God didn't come around the corner of heaven one day and found the devil sitting there with a cigar in his hand. He didn't find the devil sitting there looking at porn on his iPhone. But where did sin come from? It come from I will. It come from rebellion, which was birthed from the very heart of this created being, which had the ability to fall. This is why Satan uses it against us. It worked against him. Can you imagine rebellion against the Word of God, and pride and arrogance and selfishness was so strong it pulled an angel down out of heaven? Can't you see why we need the power of God to help us, or we're a hopeless case? The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not, listen to this, subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You are wasting your time trying to think that you can ever get your human element to a spot that it's perfect. To think your mind, which is unconverted, your human spirit, your human element, you'll ever get it perfected, you're wasting your life away. God don't want it perfect. He wants it subject. God will perfect it. I said God will perfect it. Notice this in the revelation of Jesus Christ. The prophet said, speaking about spiritual things of God, the carnal mind shuns it because the carnal mind knows nothing about it. No wonder. The carnal mind doesn't know it because it's Satan in that carnal mind. Now, if a being was to appear behind me today on the platform, and he was red all over and had a forked tail, fire was shooting out of his eyes, and he had a pitchfork, and he was about 10 or 12 feet tall. Most of y'all done been gone. Oh God, that scares me to death. Oh God, really? It's amazing that you're scared of a figment of your imagination, and yet you play and toy and welcome where he's really at. Your mind is a dangerous playground. You go to imagining and thinking this and that and the other. Come on, church. Are we going to have church today or what? Oh, my. You go to thinking things of the wrong way and the wrong direction. And yet if the demon was to appear to you in a hood or whatever more, why, many of us would scare us to death. And yet we will allow Satan, through the power of our carnal mind, to come and set up house. He sets up house in our mind and we don't even blow him out. The prophet said, because it's Satan and that carnal mind, and Satan is exposed. That's what's happening here this morning. And Satan does not want himself to be exposed. No, the coward, he does not like to be exposed, so he hides. Well, this is hide and seek. He's hide, he's done hid, and the Lord's seeking him out. Amen. Notice Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now we know we're all in the flesh as far as humanly, but he's not speaking about those that are human, human bodies, but those that are yielding to the weaknesses and the propensities and the desires. They're following their flesh. Oh my. Those that are in the flesh, it's totally impossible to please God. Look in verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh. My goodness, you mean I'm in the flesh, but I'm not in the flesh? This is the victory he wanted to accomplish in you. To take your soul out and put it in an angelic body, that wouldn't have been no overcoming. But to rejuvenate you and give you a new birth and leave you in the body, and yet you'd be so separated from your flesh that he could say, you're not even in the flesh. There ain't nobody can do that but God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. That don't mean shouting. Oh, I wore that scripture out when I was a Pentecostal preacher. Man, I preached it all the time that it was shouting. But I found out a lot of those that shouted didn't have what I was talking about. That's quite a disappointment. But it won't just quicken your body to movement or to emotion. It will quicken your body to obedience and subjection to the Word. It empowers you. Oh, my. Though the body is doomed to death because of sin, the Holy Ghost quickens it to obedience. So a young lady, a young woman that becomes converted, she opens up her mirror, and there's rouge and black stuff for the eyes, pink stuff for the cheeks, orange stuff for the lips, all kinds of other stuff there. But she's really been quickened. It quickens her hands to obedience. Man got a pack of cigarettes. He's got his favorite porn sites at her head where his wife can't find him. A man becomes quickened by the Holy Ghost. He lets that go. Come on now. Why? Because the body is dead to sin. Now, does the body like it? No. The body still wants it. But you're in charge. The new birth has put a new master in the throne of your heart. Watch this in the rising of the sun. The prophet said, if the Spirit that raised him from the dead, the Word, the dynamic of the Word dwells in you, it also quickens your mortal body. Now, how are we flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone? Because quickly, while we were yet mortal sinners, mortal, ready to die, these bodies, it quickens that body. What's quickened? Bring to life the Spirit that once liked to drink, run around, commit adultery, all these things. It's quickened. Why? The thing died. And you are resurrected. It quickens your mortal body. Now, can a person still be tempted with all the above? Of course. Can the flesh still remember how good it felt? Of course. But it has been quickened by the Spirit of God. Quickened to what? Obedience. And it's not like a slave. Oh, you better serve God. I'll tell you one thing. If you disobey my word, I'll throw you in hell. We're not serving God out of fear. We're serving him because we love him. Amen. Our sisters didn't stop cutting their hair because they're scared they'll go to hell. They don't stop wearing their pants and so on because they're scared they go to hell. They love him so much. If he says don't do it, they don't want to do it. Therefore, your bodies is the temple of the dynamics. Because why? From the beginning, you are part of the mechanics. Oh, there is your resurrection. There is the church in the resurrection with him. These bodies right now are quickened. Praise God. See, you've heard. You believe. It changed you from a denomination to the Word. So you went from a chicken to an eagle. You went from a church member to a born-again member of the body of Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. I realize, friends, we've done a lot of witnessing and we've brought a lot of folks to this message, but I wonder how many we brought to the Lord Jesus. All we've done is change their doctrine from Baptist doctrine to message doctrine. From Pentecostal doctrine to message doctrine, there's got to come a birth by this word. And if you're not born again, either that doctrine will get you or the devil or sin or something. We must come to him and be endowed with his spirit from on high. That's the only thing that will drive back the powers of darkness. It's greater than you. It's greater than me. It's greater than ever preacher, ever person said in this building today. You are no match for the devil. You are no match for Laodicea. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. With God in our lives, we are more than a match. He says, if the Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, oh hallelujah, it will quicken your mortal body. It will make you do things you didn't do before. Praise God. And the church said,
amen.
Now when it does it eliminate, blow away, annihilate the other control tower? Nope. Wish it did too. Notice this in thirst, paragraph 25. I was looking and thinking about that word thirst. So I looked up in the dictionary to see what it means. And here's what Webster says. It's a painful desire. Painful. When you want something so bad until it becomes painful to you. Now, Christians aren't the only one that feel that. I've never drank, so I really don't know what it feels like to want it. But I've dealt with people who have. They'll give up their milk money. They'll lie. They'll do whatever they got to do to have it because it's a painful desire. They'll sneak. They'll cover their tracks. They'll do everything they can do to hide it from people that they don't want to know that they're doing it. But it's something in them. They have to have it. It hurts if they don't get it. Drug addicts do exactly the same thing. They will stoop to morality, to immorality, I should say. They will stoop to such places of immorality they never thought they would ever do. Men will sell their bodies to other men, even though they're not even homosexual. But they will do it because that painful desire burns within them so bad they've got to have a fix. Oh, I would to God we thirsted for the living God that way. I would to God we hungered for him and desired for him like we desire those things. People say they want the Holy Ghost so bad. Oh, God, they want it so bad. And then they come out of the altar and pray 5 minutes. I realize we're in Laodicea, and I realize at the end time, the anointing is slowing down. The presence of God, the Spirit of God leaving the earth. Sure, it's hard. Sure, it's difficult. But if you want it, my friend, you go out and work and work and work and work for how many hours you got to work in order to have a weekend drunk. And you won't put forth that same kind of effort to get the Holy Ghost. You don't want it near as bad as you want to get drunk. That's just the bottom line. Well, hallelujah. Notice this, it's a painful desire. You want something so bad till it becomes painful to you. Now, it's not a natural thing to thirst. Thirst is a natural thing. It's just simply something that God gave us. Now, God is the one who gave us in the beginning. So that we could give to us a desire for something, sometimes God has also given you a control tower. Something that sets inside of you that controls this inside, these different desires. And this thirst, this control tower that's set in a man's heart is something that God gave him to warn him of the desires that's needful for him. So here's the thirst. It's wired, if you can say it this way, it's wired directly to the control tower. The control tower then sends out the signal to your spirit, to your body, whichever one that it is, and it begins to go ahead and meet the things that needs to be met inside of you because the signal is coming out. I need water. I need water. I need food. I need rest. Or I need drugs. And Satan can't make thirst. He ain't big enough. He's God only by words. He ain't God by power. So he cannot create thirst, but he can pervert it. So what's he do? He perverts it. So instead of getting people to where that they can be filled with the Holy Ghost and feel that joy inside of them, he's constantly improvising with different types of drugs. And different types of alcohol, or different types of sexual behavior, or whatever more that is, different kinds of movies. Oh, come on. We're raising a bunch of young men around this message, and all they know how to do is sit with some kind of remote control in their hand and play video games. Well, hallelujah, Brother Donnie. And in their imagination, they're fighting and killing and doing all these things. And I know, oh, that don't affect me. Do you honestly believe that? Do you honestly believe that's not affecting you? Sure, it's affecting you. It's doing something to you. It is changing you. So what do we offer them? Well, what are you going to offer me in place of video games? What about instead of a video game, a real living Bible story? Oh, I've heard them since I was a kid. Well, apparently they ain't alive to you yet, because if it was, every time you hear it, it'd be new. So instead, you sit there. Oh, it ain't affecting me. Really? What's all the shaking going on? What's your eyes doing bugged out on stems? But it don't affect me, of course, at all. Because I'm not emotional. I ain't talking about when you're in church. So there's something in you, isn't there? To be able to conquer those giants on your video screen. There's something in you to be able to rescue the fair maiden on the video screen. Where do you figure that come from, friend? A God-given thirst inside of you to overcome real giants. And you can't do it there, can you? So you can be able to manipulate the buttons on your whatever that thing is. And you're able to be a conqueror and a hero. Yes, yes, I did it. You did what? Wasted 2.5 hours of your time. You're going to keep on, sir. I'm going to get fired from this position. The prophet says it's not unnecessary or unnatural for a young man and a young woman to love one another. It's a thirst for love. It's their age. They love one another. It's not unnatural. That's just a natural thing for them to do that. Now, we find many things in the body that we live in, the natural body, that we thirst for. It's just something that sets in us. Now, remember, we're still talking about a converted person as well. We want to do it. We absolutely feel that it's necessary, and it's necessary that we do it. We find many women in these days thirst for beauty. Now, there isn't a woman. It's a natural thing for a woman to thirst to be pretty. Oh, dear God. Testing, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2, 3. in a woman. It's a natural thing for a woman to thirst to be pretty. That's her God-given instinct and her beauty that God gave her for her mate. So a woman's beauty or a woman's prettiness is not made to be put on show for every man to look at her and long after her. It's given to her for her mate. And Happy Valley Church said,
amen.
And the visitors also said,
amen.
Thank you. Now, it is a God-given instinct, but what does Satan do? Then Satan will twist it. And he will move on the woman, and she'll want to take her beauty or how pretty she is. And she'll say, well, why should I go to Walmart dressed like this? Why should I do this? And why shouldn't I do that? I mean, why just reserve it to my husband? Well, I'm going to preach with you or without you, saints. Now, notice this. I know a lot of preachers ain't going to read this quote to you, but I'm going to this morning. He said it's not wrong for women to be pretty. They should be. It's not sinful for our sisters to pretty up.
Amen.
I think we have to look like Amish. Brother Branham is not Amish.
Amen.
He was not Mennonite or Dunkard. If that was the right way, we'd see horses out here this morning instead of Fords and General Motors and whatever more. Come on now. And some feel like, oh my, if a man, oh my goodness, if a man wears a new suit, or yeah, you got to wear stuff, holes on the bottom of your shoes to be humble, then that's not humility. You don't understand what humility is. And some folks think for a woman to kind of put up her hair and take a bath every now and then, please do it for our sake, if not for your own. And for a woman to want to do dress every now and then, comb her hair and whatever more, oh God, that's absolutely worldly. Not according to the message, it's not. The balance is, look friend, you got folks on this side of the ditch and you got folks on that side of the ditch. I'm tired of being a ditch driver. I want to be in the middle of the road, and let's take this and realize by the Spirit of God we can balance ourselves in the Word. Now the true thirst that a woman should have would be to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And to have a Christ-like spirit. 1 Timothy 2:9. Now that's the way a woman should thirst to be. Now if she wants to be pretty, that's the way she wants to make you pretty. It's a Christ-like spirit and adorned in modest apparel. And the church said.
Amen.
Again, now a woman, as I said before, wants to be pretty. There's something in her that she is feminish. I'll tell you one thing, I'd rather my wife want to be pretty than come here. How you doing, naughty? You ready to go out and dig a ditch? Come on, buddy, let's go out. I'll show you what a man is. I don't want my wife to be like that. I don't want none of you sisters to be like that butch. Anyway, some of you's already that way in your spirit. You sure don't need to be that way in your body. Oh, Jesus. God made the woman to be feminist. With that comes this other stuff, brothers. I can go anywhere in the world and be ready to go in 15 minutes. Enough said. And for you brothers that ain't married, you just have to kind of read between the lines. But that's what makes her the way she is. And our sisters already feel ugly. Many of them already feel so deprived because to compare to these Laodiceans out here, they look so awful. God have mercy on a man that'll lust after these Jezebels out here and not try to encourage his wife as a daughter of God, when in look she bears much more reproach than any of us men do. And you men will not compliment them and brag on them. Shame on you. It is your responsibility. You go out here and lust after these young whores out here walking up and down the street. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Oh my goodness. But the way they're on the street today, haircut like a man wearing man's clothes, and then men turn around and wearing women's clothes. And a haircut like a woman. It's a perversion. The whole thing Your food is perverted. Your life is perverted. Your thirst perverted. Your desire perverted. It's a day of perversion. And here you are, left in this filth. Can you imagine Sister Caitlin the other night? She was fixing to come out and meet her groom. All those people that were there waiting. Now, I had the advantage. I was standing here front looking up. Others were sitting there waiting. When's she coming? She come over the hill in a Kentucky limousine, a Volkswagen. Well, people were sitting there wondering, when's she coming? I wasn't knowing when she's coming. I seen her coming. But can you imagine her having to walk through people that had soot and black stuff all over them with this white wedding dress and trying to stay away from the chairs that would have been black and filthy or the entrance of the door? No, she didn't have to do that because her parents wanted to make it as easy for her as possible. She didn't have to ride in some filthy means of transportation and have to get down there and clean herself off. But you imagine yourself dressed in royal white wedding garments as the bride, and everywhere you look is filth and soot of the world and darkness and smoke and tobacco and all kinds of nonsense of the world. You can't even hardly go to Walmart without brushing your wedding dress against the filthy magazines on the way as you check out. You can't even go to a grocery store and buy some groceries without listening to the rock and roll of the, come on church, the rock and roll soot that they're trying to contaminate your soul. It's not just one place we go. It's everywhere we go. And what makes it worse is we've got women that come to church dressed like Jezebels, and we've got men who act to sit there, not only fight it out on the street, they've got to fight it when they come to church. Or you got men that ain't nothing but big flirts. So it's like you're, if you go like this, you're going to look awful. You see, it's when we become like that that we go to picking up smut and filth. Most generally, you'll always pick it up in your mind or your spirit before you start manifesting in your flesh. Let me close with this. What are you? Who are you? Let me answer back to your bridegroom as he stood before Pontius Pilate that day. And let me just throw this in. For hundreds of years, historians, archaeologists, even many theologians said Pontius Pilate never lived, because there's not one record in Roman history. Strabo, or none of the rest of them, Flavius Josephus, none of them wrote one page about this man. So they said, well, the Bible is wrong, because we can't find it in the local Louisville paper. But a few weeks ago, we stood in the Roman city, Tiberias, in Caesarea. Here you can see there's still their great massive achievements of what they'd done years and years ago. A Roman Colosseum, which is still there to this day, that they use for great plays and dramas and so on. And a few years ago, they was in there digging around on one of them places. Somebody on the underneath side of where this stone was laid saw some Roman writing. So they called for somebody that could read it. And when they got down on their knees, they looked up at it and realized it was an ancient artifact. So they started digging it out. Hallelujah. It was where Pilate had had this city built in honor to Caesar. There it was, engraved in stone, Pontius Pilate. over 2,000 years old. Now, can you imagine them theologians that spent all their life fighting against it? They didn't just have egg on their face, they had the chicken. You imagine all these people trying to tear down this message and say this didn't happen and that didn't happen, and one of these days they'll open up their eyes and realize they're in the middle of the tribulation period. Oh, I'll tell you one thing, friends, as I stood there and took a picture of that stone, a copy of it, I thought, it don't make me believe anymore. I believe without the stone. I believe without newspaper clippings. I believe without video and this and that and the other, because I am a believer. Hallelujah. But I stood there and I thought, thank God, God was able to help them find such stuff. And may I say to you, when our Lord Jesus stood there that day, you imagine Pilate saying it himself, who are you? What are you? A man who can raise the dead, a man who can feed 5,000, a man who can heal the cripples. And yet here you stand powerless, seemingly, not even lifting a finger. Who are you? What are you? So I ask you the same. Who are you? Are you a Laodicean? Are you a cosmos loving person who's getting sick of serving God? Or are you a son or daughter of God? Oh, maybe you're in a whirl. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're down. Maybe you've fallen short of the glory of God. I ain't talking about who you are temporarily. I'm talking about who are you from your soul. Jesus may have looked powerless, but it was only for a moment. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, Lord God, Brother Daniel, let's jump down to the next quote there in Believe in God, 1952. Brother M says, this outside is sin. Do you know that? Do you know your body's sin? That's the reason you don't try to perfect that body. It's sin. It's born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. That's why you can't trust yourself, friends. You'll lie to yourself. Your body and your spirit will lie to your soul. They'll do their best to talk you out of who you are in the spiritual realm with God. It's up to you to withstand it. Because believe it or not, you'll believe yourself over anybody else. I can give you pages of quotes, pages of scriptures. I've done it for decades. To folks, do your best to talk to them. Oh, whatever you tell me, Brother Donnie, I'll do. Yeah, right. If I had a dollar for every time I'd heard that, I'd be richer than Bill Gates. In reality, you're going to believe you. So if you're convinced, you're not a Christian. You're not a believer. I can quote and quote and quote until something changes you from within. You know, you should do this and you should do that and you should do something else. But the power to overcome it won't come by you knowing you should. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you would like to be remembered today before the Lord? Not only present, but those that are out streaming the service. It's up to you what you do with this outer man and the inner man. Will you bring him subject by the new life that lives inside of you? Or will you constantly be engaged in these battles? You win, you lose, you win, you lose, you win, you lose. Then eventually you become so discouraged you think, it ain't for me, no way. It ain't for me. I'm probably not even bright. I'm probably not even elect. You see, the Baptist, the Methodist, the Church of God, the rest of the Christianity out here, they don't ever fight that thing because they don't know too much about election. But Satan will take that wonderful, precious doctrine that we love so much and try his best to defeat us with it. And try to convince us that we're not elect.
God has to drop that in your heart to where that you know that it is Him calling you. Let me just go this far and say to you, even if I'm not bright, I'd rather live for Him than live for the devil any day of the week. I ain't got nothing to lose. I believe I am bright. Have I ever seen my name on the book? No. Have the seals ever come open to me and I've seen it written there in heaven? No. But I believe the life that's inside of me testifies of heaven. But if I'm not, if I'm foolish virgin and I come up in the second resurrection and I'll stand there and be judged, I'd rather live for the Lord Jesus in this life than I would live for the devil, because I see the way He treats His people. He ain't got no heaven to take you to. He has no healing when you're sick. He has no encouragement when you get down. As a matter of fact, when you get depressed, He'll offer you more pills to help bind your addiction to Him that much more. Whenever you get weary and you don't know what to do, He'll offer you a gun or a knife or put you up on a cliff somewhere so you can jump off and kill yourself and end your life. That's what He offers people. Why would you want to live for Him? It makes no sense to me. Jesus doesn't promise you'll be exempt from trouble, but He does say, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you always to the end of the world. Praise God. Lord Jesus, I pray today, Father, You would help us. Lord God, as I stand before Your people today, I'm asking You, Lord, that You'd minister to every heart. For those that are sealed in Christ Jesus, I pray they'd leave here today with a greater determination than ever before to be on fire with the Holy Ghost. For those, Lord, that have not arrived, may You stir that something within them. Help them to thirst after You, O God. As David so long ago said, my soul thirsteth after the living God. We do not believe You sent this prophet. Send him to the earth to do great signs and wonders, and he'd leave the world and leave us with an historical Christ. And that we would live on the memory of what You used to do when He was here. He's gone, but You're still here. And You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe You still offer walks that are consecrated to You. Young men, young women, older men and women. We believe we can have that kind of walk, Lord. Help us today, Father. I pray for the sick. I pray for the afflicted. I pray for those, Lord, that's down in their spirit. Maybe they've been going through a real difficult time and they're fighting depression and whatever more. May the Spirit of God help them, Lord. May You come to each of us today, Lord Jesus. Search our hearts. Look at our lives, Father. We love You, Lord. Praise God. Can we stand our feet? Praise the Lord Jesus. How many believes He's mindful of you today and your needs? And we all know there's battles that we share with others and that we don't mind talking about. But for most of us, there's things that we go through that we really just don't share with other people. As a preacher, there's things that I talk to preacher friends of mine about. But there's other things, I just don't do it. And all of us, no doubt, feel that same way. But remember, you've always got one friend that you can talk to about everything. He knows it anyway. But He loves to give you an ear to be able to hear it. He knows what you're doing. Amen. You love Him with all your hearts. Can we raise our hands in the presence of God for whatever you need tonight? I realize some of this today is, many of you aren't living there, I know that. But I have to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. If there ain't but two or three, if there's one, I'd give up this whole service myself for something I need for one, wouldn't you? If God could speak to one soul and turn one soul around, what about the rest of you saints? When you forfeit something that you really, really thought you'd like to hear, see, that shows you're Christians. You're Christians. Let's pray for each other, shall we? Can we lay our hand on the person standing by us or standing near us? You never know what they're going through. You never know what they're facing in life. They may have walked through these doors today and made up in their mind, I ain't never coming back again. I'm finished. May the Spirit of God minister to every heart. Lord Jesus, as eagle to eagle, believer to believer, we have our hands one upon the other. We're asking you, Father, that you just minister to the needs of these people today. You're the only one that can look down in every heart, Lord, and rightly know how every person is. No doubt we would misjudge. We would judge by what we see and what we think and what we feel. And I'm sure we would be so wrong. But Father, you are never wrong. May the presence of God, I pray, just minister to every heart. Not only the visible audience, but the invisible. Lord Jesus, I pray, dear God, for your mercy. Lord, I feel like today that I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost and filled in your presence. But Lord God, I need a refreshing, Lord. I fight so many things and go through so many things, Lord. Would you just refill me again today, Lord? With just a fresh outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lamb of God, we need you like never before, Father. We know that we will never get more than what we ever need. We always need more of your love and more of your power and more of your goodness. Father, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord Jesus, to young and old and middle-aged, whoever they are, may the presence of God, I pray, touch every hungry heart. Help us, Lord, if we have allowed Satan to pervert our thirsts. I pray in the name of Jesus, you would help us, Father. Lord God, we know there's just so much that you will do whenever we, as your children, are required to do certain things. You will not do our part. But we must do our part, and you will definitely meet us more than halfway. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, give us the strength today, Lord. Oh, God, to rise to the challenge of the hour. Whatever every individual is facing here today, Father, that Goliath in their life, may the Spirit of God help them to rise to the challenge. Lord, maybe it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's a wayward son or a daughter or a wife or a husband. Whatever it is, Lord, I pray you would help them to rise to the occasion. Anoint their faith, Father, to believe, oh Father, for what it would seem like to be the impossible, because you are El Shaddai. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Tizkenu. You are our righteousness, our banner, our God, Jehovah Elohim, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Lord Jesus, we worship you today, Father. Oh, bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you today, Lord God. Minister to the needs of your people, I ask, Lord. Oh, grant it, Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I wonder if our brother Andy's would come and sing that song for us. He's singing as we come out a while ago. Can we just sing a little bit and worship the Lord together before we go together to have our lunch? Let's have some heavenly lunch. Amen. Let's have some heavenly worship in the presence of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Isn't it an honor for us to be gathered together today? Not only in God's presence, but in one another's presence. Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Say, God bless you, brother, sister. Good to see you today in church. Amen.
Behold, he comes.
Amen.
He's let's worship now. On a cloud. He's shining like the sun.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
And out of Zion's hill,
thank
salvation
you,
comes. Oh, behold, he comes. He's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's our year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. These are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Declaring the word of the Lord.
Oh, yes, Lord God. We worship you, Father.
These are the days of your
we
servant.
We bless your name, Lord.
Moses.
Thank you for letting us live in this day, oh God.
Be restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, he's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Yes, these are the days of Ezekiel, those rivals becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding a temple of praise. Yes, Lord. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as wine in your world. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word. Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. I believe it. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes. He's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, won't you lift your voice? It's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like our Jehovah. Behold, he comes. He's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Oh, behold, he comes. He's riding on a cloud and shining like the sun. Oh, at the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. So lift your voice. It's our year of jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise be to God. Praise be to God. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray together before we go. Father, thank you so much for your grace to us today. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray, dear God, you'd help each of us. Take it to our hearts. Apply it to our lives. We can be a better people, Lord. We want to leave this world in a blaze of glory. We don't believe the bride's going to leave here an old crippled up bride that barely was able to hang on from day to day, from church service to church service.
That's not what we believe that you accomplished for us at Calvary. Praise God. The prophet said since he'd got the Holy Ghost, he'd been drunk every day since. He said, we need the kind of service in you where we get so drunk on the Holy Ghost, we forget what our name is. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us to realize that's what you desire, is for us to be a consecrated, victorious people. Go with us now, Lord, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you, saints. God bless you, visitors that's been with us in our gates last night, today. May God be with you as you travel on your way. If we don't meet you again, we plan on meeting together at the royal banquet. Amen. Amen. And oh yeah, before you go, let me be sure and make this invitation to you. I'd like to invite you to a youth gathering. We're fixing to have a youth meeting. It'll be the largest youth gathering that has ever been. No old people allowed. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. It's going to be held in your new home in a gated community. Don't you want to be there? God bless you. Go in the fear of God. I love you.
Amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon. And my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed how much you love me. I'm amazed how you found power.